Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Let us so do. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we grant unto thee grace and thanks for this day and for its beauty. We thank thee for life and for the privilege of service. Do we thank thee, our Father, most of all for Jesus and for his death upon the cross? And we ask now, as we seek to go through this service and through this day, that we may be drawn closer to thee. In the Master's name we pray. Amen. I point your attention to selected readings from the Gospels of Matthew and of John. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come.
This is a special week of observance in our own denomination, as you all are aware, as we place some special emphasis on our home mission program. And as we think of this program, we think of our living church, a living church encountering the world in which we live. Now people, individual disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, joined together in one body, form the living church. So when the church is ineffective in its mission, when it's ineffective in meeting the needs of today's world, it seems rightly that the responsibility of repentance falls upon the church, those believers who compose the church. It's not the failure of a lifeless institution. It's not the failure of programs, but rather the lack of responsible discipleship. Now in the scriptures we heard read just a moment ago, Jesus clearly spoke of the quality, of the intensity, of the urgency of discipleship in his church. He said, "You are the salt of the earth." And in these words, Jesus pinpointed forever the saving quality of a Christian witness. Now we see salt as a preservative, keeping food from deteriorating. It's the Christian's faith, the Christian's witness, individually and collectively, that keep men from utter corruption. When faith is strong and when witness is strong, joined together strong enough and stable enough, a community's moral and spiritual level is raised and the fiber is strengthened. For men are given new respect for themselves, for they're provided with skills and tools to meet their own needs materially, spiritually. Jesus continued as he said, "You are the light of the world." Now we admit that light gives life, We'll go a step further and see also that light reveals that which is hidden. Each of us as Christian disciples have an assigned responsibility from our Lord. A responsibility to help a lost world see and to help a lost world know the sin that causes confusion, bewilderment, and poverty in which men live, materially, spiritually. This applies, it seems to me, to the street on which we live, or the community across the tracks, as well as our state and nation and so forth. Thus, the failure of the church is really the failure of its members. Jesus gave us instruction when he said, "Work, for the night is coming when no man can work." There seems to be urgency in his voice. These words apply to every member of the Christian church. They suggest to me, at least, that the time to become involved, and I mean redemptively involved, in man's needs, in our rural communities, our cities, or what have you, is right now. Not after we have completed a course of study, or not after we've reached a certain goal, but right now, where we are. And according to Jesus, no man is exempt. There's still time. Time hasn't run out. As someone said some time ago, the birth of every new baby is an indication that God has not given up on the human race yet. The spiritual needs of men can be met. Justice can replace prejudice and discrimination. The captives can be set free. For the love of Christ is still strong enough to wipe away hatred. There's a big if. If the church is to be a vital force in today's world, in our generation, then it's imperative that every member of that church become redemptively involved in a living church encountering the world.
Reading again from the New Testament, we turn now to the letters, excerpts from the letters of 1 Corinthians and the 1 John. "Now I would remind you, brethren, in what terms I preach to you the gospel which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold it fast, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing this that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all."
The living church declaring the gospel. Paul, when he went to Corinth, he said, "I determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified." As we are preparing now for the crusade of the Americas, I can see the need of the church getting involved in its mission. I can see also the need of the individual getting involved in the mission that Jesus Christ have left in our hands. As we see the theme of the Crusade of the Americas, that Christ is the only hope, it seems as the society that we live in today, that we have decided that we can better our society with our own means, but until we recognize that Christ is the answer and Christ is the hope for us as the Christian church, and if the church would realize and will come back and declare the gospel, if they would get involved. Now it seems in this day we live that people do not want to get involved in the work. This is not only in the church, but this is in all walks of life. People will not get involved. They are going to have to take some time off. If there's an accident happen here or there, and you may be one of those people that see this accident and you will just sidle away and will not answer any questions because it's going to take some time out of your walk of life to be involved in this accident or whatever it may be. I see as the Crusade of the Americas, as this has been being prepared for over 2 years and now it's at our door, I see the need of us as a church to begin to really put our feet on the ground and to go forward and declare the gospel. Now Paul said here in chapter 15 that he declared unto them the gospel and he preached unto them. This is our mission as a Christian. Not only the ministers and the pastors, the evangelists, but this is a mission to each and every individual. I see that there are more than 20 million Baptists and over 100,000 churches in the North and South America. With a witness for Christ, what could this do? This could change the tide. This might bring an outbreak of a revival in the Western Hemisphere for Christ. We need a revival. We need a world revival. And especially we need a revival in our country that we might see the effects of the gospel being declared, because the gospel is good news and it's upon our shoulders as the church, if it's a living church, is to carry the gospel and to share it with everyone that's in our community, in our homes, and to those that live around us. Unless we begin to evaluate the church and evaluate ourselves, we're not going to have a revival. I notice in chapter 8 of Matthew where the leper came to Jesus and worshiped him. And he said unto Jesus, if you will touch me, I can be healed. And unless we have compassion for the lost man and for the man that's away from the Lord and have not found him, we'll not see a revival. But if we will put ourselves in the hands of the Lord and go forth and have that personal touch to that person that may be an alcoholic, he may be in a family that is left out, and no one has anything to do with them. And it may depend upon you, and it may depend upon me, to go with a personal touch and touch that man for Christ. I see in this leper, when he came to Christ, that no one wanted to have anything to do with him. He was a castaway. Fact about it, you can find in Leviticus, the 13th chapter, what happened, that he would a leper would come before the priest and they would look at him in certain conditions. He'd have to go back away for 7 days and then he would come and present himself to the priest again. And no one wanted to have anything to do with lepers. But Christ touched him. And unless we get out and touch people for Christ, we're not going to see the revival that we need today. We see the revival already have broken out in South America, and it can break out in North America. Then I see
John, as he writes the epistle of John, says that we declare unto you the things that we have heard and seen with our eyes. And this is our objective today, is to get involved and to feel the gospel and see the gospel and let it be a part of us. Until we let it be a part of us, and we'll not be able to share it with someone else. When the people see that the gospel is a part of us and it's real, then we can give it to others. Are you ready for the crusade of the Americas? Have you considered this week of prayer? Have you put yourself in this week of prayer for home missions? I see the goal is $6.5 million. Will we reach the goal? Will we get involved in the week of prayer? Will we get involved in the crusade of the Americas?
Would you join me in our closing prayer? Dear God, we are thankful that you have revealed yourself through Jesus Christ so that we may better know you and your ways. We come to thee this morning and confess our sins and are grateful that you have continued to love us in spite of our unloveliness. We are thankful for our missionaries and pray that they will not become discouraged in these difficult times and will continue their great work. We are grateful that you have given each of us some small part in building your kingdom here on earth, and we pray that we would not fail thee. We offer this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.